Thank you so very much, Greg and team, and good morning again, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome to our first service on this Easter Sunday morning. You know, one of the earliest Easter declarations, and we've done this here for years, goes as follows. Someone will say, Christ has risen, and then the response, hopefully with a high with a lot of octane, response back is, he is risen indeed. So let's do that. You ready? Christ is risen.
He is risen.
And one more time, let them hear you out on First Colony Boulevard. You ready? Here we go. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Now I want you to think about that last word. He's risen indeed. It's a way of saying, you know, this really happened. This wasn't a myth. This is no fairy tale. This is not a saccharine illusion. This really happened. Jesus is who he claims to be. He did what he said he would do. He offers what only the risen Christ can offer. He is risen. He's risen for real. Really, indeed, within 20 years of the life of Jesus, the Apostle Paul wrote these words to a church in the ancient city of Corinth. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says this, I passed on to you what I received, which is of the greatest importance, that Christ died for our sins, as written in the Scriptures, that he was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as written in the Scriptures. He appeared to Peter, to the 12, to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living. In other words, you want to ask them? Go ask them. To James, to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also. This is the Apostle Paul's way of saying, this is not a metaphor. This is not an illusion. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a myth. This really happened. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He was dead. Jesus was on the cross, and he was dead. His EKG was flatlined. But God raised him to life again indeed. Now, what's the meaning of that? What's the significance of that? I've got four very simple, straightforward points. And here's the first one. Because he's risen indeed, it means that your value does not vary. Your value does not vary, nor does it fluctuate. Now, you may be thinking it does. Some of you are out there saying, you know, my net worth It's dropped by 40% over the last couple of years. My value has decreased substantially. I'm only worth now 50% of what I was worth 2 years ago. Listen carefully. That's not true. 2 years ago, you were worth the sacrifice of God's only begotten Son, Jesus. What are you worth today? The sacrifice of God's only begotten Son, Jesus. What will you be worth tomorrow? You will be worth that sacrifice tomorrow. That's your value in God's eyes. Do not measure your value by your job, by your title, by your position, by things that ebb and flow and go up and down and that are so far beyond your control. God has deemed you worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus. He interceded for you yesterday. He's doing it today, and that's your value in the future. And that doesn't fluctuate. That does not vary. Secondly, your past is not unforgivable. No matter where you've been, regardless of what's gone on, regardless of how ashamed you may feel today, nothing you've ever done is beyond God's ability to cleanse and forgive, because Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, is risen, and he is risen indeed. And the resurrection, get this, the resurrection validates the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice for you. The resurrection proves that God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. Listen to these words from Scripture. First of all, from Romans chapter 4. The words, "it was credited to him," and this is speaking of Abraham, you know, in God's hall of fame, Abraham. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for Abraham alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. Okay, my ears are perking up now. To whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Jesus was, notice this, delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification. In other words, God's plan is Jesus qualifies us. I don't qualify myself. And my words to any of you today are these. If you think you're beyond hope, you're not. And you can any day, anytime, even this day and this time, open up your heart to the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and you will never be the same again. God is stronger than evil. God is stronger than sin. God is stronger than fear. He is stronger than death. Romans 8 says it like this. Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus, notice, died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. The risen Christ is your highest advocate. You have a friend in a very high place. Jesus, who is even now pleading, interceding for you. He's risen indeed. That means your value doesn't vary. It means your past is not unforgivable. You can let yourself out of the box. You can stop replaying your blooper reel over and over and over and begin to play the highlight reel, which spotlights the grace of God. And by the way, when you're letting yourself out of the penalty box, you might want to consider doing it for somebody else, too. He's risen indeed. And that means, thirdly, that your future is not unsecured. No matter what happens, your future's not up for grabs. Now, what do I know about your future? I know it's uncertain. Of that, I'm certain. Will you have problems down the line? Absolutely, you'll have some problems down the line. Is there a good possibility that you may die at some point in your future? There's a very good possibility that you may die at some point in your future. Does that make Jesus nervous? Answer, no. Why? Because he has already taken on himself the worst that death can do, and he is risen. He is risen indeed. It really happened. And the resurrection for you means that the best is yet to come. Wherever you've been, wherever you've traveled, no matter how old you are, if you are a resurrection person, the best is yet to come. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 15. It is true. Christ has been raised from the dead. He was the first one to be raised from the dead, and all those who belong to Christ will be raised to new life. And now from 1 Peter 3. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Your future is not unsecured. Hundreds of years ago, there was a great deal of speculation about the southern tip of Africa. All attempts at rounding that cape failed, and it was ominously called the Cape of Storms. And for many years, no one even knew what lay beyond the cape because no ship had ever successfully rounded that point and returned to tell the tale. But then a Portuguese explorer in the 16th century by the name of Vasco da Gama successfully sailed around that very point and found beyond the wild raging storms, he found calm seas, and beyond that, the shores of India. And the name of that cape was changed. No longer was it called the Cape of Storms. It's now called the Cape of Good Hope. And until Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, death had been the Cape of Storms. All hope was shipwrecked. No one knew what lay beyond that point until on Easter Sunday morning, there came the victory of Jesus over our last great enemy. And Jesus turned the Cape of Storms into the Cape of Good Hope. Christ's resurrection has turned death into the Cape of Good Hope. And Christian optimism about life after death, it's not built on some fairy tale. It's built on the solid foundation that He is risen, and He is risen indeed. Jesus said this in His own words about Himself from John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? What Jesus is doing here, He's redefining life and death. Life without Jesus is life with a small L and a big D. Life without Jesus, it's a small life and it's a big kind of death. It's eternal death. But life with Jesus is life with a big L and a small D. For the unbeliever, this world is as good as it gets. But when you follow Jesus, this world is as bad as it gets. Your value does not vary. Your past is not unforgivable. And when it comes to your future, it's not unsecured. To the contrary, it's the Cape of Good Hope. And the fourth thing I want to say to you this morning is that your help now is the same power that raised Christ then. Your help now is the same power that raised Christ then. See, the good news is that Easter power and Easter energy are all around us still. And that's really good news. You can tap in to the power of God on a daily basis and in a very practical way. And I got to tell you, folks, believers need this. And believers need to not only be, I think if we were to, you know, do a little survey. Hey, how many of you believe God can do anything? We'd go, oh, with God, all things. We'd all say, oh, yeah, that's so true. But how many believers do you know who can crawl up into a fetal position, get all passive, take on the role of a victim, live in a defeatist, self-pitying mode because they have not learned the reality that they can appropriate the power of God in a very real, practical way? Some of you are looking for a job right now. Are you tapping into the power of God? Oh, well, I'm just sitting around the house waiting for an employer to knock on my door. Not going to happen. But how about if you started walking in the direction where God wants you to go? Back when you were gainfully employed, and I fully understand that going without work, that's an emotionally difficult situation. But after an appropriate time of grieving, back when you were gainfully employed, you'd get up at what? 5, 6, 7? Well, now get up again at 5, 6, 7 and make your job looking for that job and start walking in a direction where God wants you to go. But as you're doing that, say, God, I'm asking you to partner with me. I'm going to walk in this direction. I'm going to walk where you want me to go. But I'm going to believe and trust that you will show up and do what you uniquely can. I'm not going to just stay in a fetal position. I'm not going to stay passive. I'm not going to play the victim. I'm going to tap into your power. Some of you are dealing with some relational challenges. Marriage is tough at times. Or you've got an issue with a parent or a child or with a good friend, and there's some relational difficulty, and you're balled up in a fetal position. You're passive. You say, oh, I know I need to take action, but I just don't think I can. I'll tell you what, start dialing that number. Send that email. Say the words, I'm sorry. Start walking in the direction where God would have you to go, and believe that He will show up as you walk by faith. He will show up. Now, I'm not going to just stay over here and be passive. You're going to walk by faith, and as you do that, and as you ask God to show up and intervene, He'll surprise you. Here's the way the Bible says it, Ephesians 1. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. And this is the same mighty power that, notice, that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. He's saying the same power that raised Christ then is available for you now. And resurrection power is available when you face what's impossible. Some scenario, and you just think this is an impossibility. God specializes in those. But not only when you face something that's impossible, get this, but also when you face something hard. And personally, I'd rather face something impossible than something hard. This is what I mean. When I'm facing a challenge and I think, well, this is impossible, man, I'm jazzed. I'm energized. I'm excited to see what God's going to do here. But when I'm facing something hard, I'm fully aware that this assignment is possible, but I don't want to do it. I'm not sure I've got the emotional energy to do it. Some of you right now are facing some assignments that they're not impossible, they're just hard. Sometimes marriage is hard. Sometimes parenting is hard. Some of you as parents, you're dealing with a child who may have an issue and it's just never going to be fixed. It's just never going to be fixed in this world. Some of you are caring for an aging parent, and it's just hard. And have you seen the commercial, the Staples commercial, the easy button? We live in a culture that says, oh, man, things are hard. Hit that easy button. And then what's the little sound? You know, that was easy. You just hit the easy button, and all of a sudden things happen. That was easy. Jesus did not hit the easy button on you. And because He did not default to the easy button, our eternity is changed. And I'm going to ask you not to allow your relationships to suffer. Don't allow your integrity to suffer. Just because the easy button is right in front of you, don't compromise just to take the easy way out when it comes to integrity and relationships. Don't be so quick to bail. And that power that you think, oh, I just don't know if I've got it in me to do what's impossible, to do what's hard. The same power that raised Christ then is available for you now. He's risen. He's risen indeed. That means your past, it's not unforgivable. That means your future is secured. It means that your value does not vary nor fluctuate. You are worth the sacrifice of Jesus. And it means the same power that raised Him then is available for you in a very practical way today. All right? Well, everybody, today would be, I think, a really good day to take a step in God's direction. And if you are unsure of your relationship with Jesus Christ, or if you would like to speak with someone in our church about your next step as a believer, and your next step may be to start a Bible study, to get a Bible. Your next step may be just coming back to church next Sunday. Your next step may be what you witnessed earlier today, being baptized into Christ. On your communication card, you will see, everybody take out your order of worship there for a moment, please, your order of worship. And you will see in your order of worship a communication card. I invite you to fill that out, put your name down, email address, please. And if however you would like to communicate with us, you can indicate a desire to speak with one of our church leaders. You can indicate a desire for a Bible study if you want some information, or if you want some information about our church, you can indicate that. It may be that you would like to submit a prayer request and have our church leaders pray over that request. We would be honored to do so and to intercede for you to ask for God's supernatural resurrection power to have its sway and influence in your life, okay? Before we close, I'd like to read one more scripture, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. That says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. And as the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in the Lord will never be disgraced. I want to underscore that. Anyone who trusts in the Lord will never be disgraced. It would be our pleasure to help you take your next step in your journey to faith. Okay, why don't you, if you finish filling out those cards, just pass them to the ends of the aisles. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then after this prayer, our ushers will begin to collect those cards. Let's pray. Lord God, would you open our eyes and help us to, with fresh eyes, see your power and your presence. And Lord God, we thank you for resurrection hope, for resurrection power and grace, and for the reality that Jesus has broken through into our world, that he's risen. He's risen indeed and reigning even now. And Lord, send us out into the world as people who live with hope, who spread hope, and who are filled with love of another kind. May it really influence so many hope-starved families and colleagues and neighbors. This we pray in the name of the resurrected Christ. Amen.